The following is paid for by Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson, licensed agents of Indy Realty, LLC. The hosts are solely responsible for its content. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors. We now bring you the I Am Real Estate Show, brought to you by Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson with Indy Realty.
Hello, everyone. Just want you to hear the music for a little bit. I thought it was nice to hear the saying, Our House.
That takes you back a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes. Reminds me that I am not 21 years old. I am 22. So that's a good thing. We're here. You are here today with the I Am Real Estate Show with Sandra Johnson. I guess it's Sandra Smith. Sandra Johnson and Ray Smith. And thanks for being with the show with us today. Today, we'll spend a little time with Michael Oakland, who is a master inspector for Horizon Inspections. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing great. Couple of things out last week. This is probably the last time I'm going to bring it up. But I asked our guest last week, when can you stop saying Happy New Year to everybody?
When can you stop saying Happy New Year? I suppose hypothetically, you could say it all year long. People might look at you sideways like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Still didn't answer.
I'd probably say within the first couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So this
it's
is
gotta
old
be,
news.
It's got to be right. We got to be like putting it down right about now. Come on.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure because Rigo said it was the end of the month. I'm like, no, that's too long.
That's too long, man.
I'm like the 2nd of January. I thought if I haven't met you since then, it's okay, man. I'll talk to you next year.
Yeah, I've transitioned to how's the new year treating
you? Yeah, exactly. How's the new year going? Are you crushing the new year? It's like Happy New Year. It's like, no, it's not. Yeah.
We'd like to thank you guys for listening and watching our show. And Sandra has a comment from one of our listeners.
Yeah. Ooh. I got a text today.
Bring it in.
It said, hey, you guys did a great job of talking about Tucson and selling Tucson two shows ago. But then we brought Rigo on and she's like, scorpions? Really? What is that doing to promote Tucson?
Wow. That's a little jarring, but it's helpful to have an outside perspective where someone can say, this is the effect that your conversation might be having. That's good.
And like a good Tucsonan, I text her back and said, how much snow do you have right now?
Yeah, go to Mount Lemmon. There's plenty of it.
Well, we're talking North Dakota.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah, they've got a lot of snow. Actually, my sister was here last week I have two sisters, so one was here last week from Minnesota. Mm. She had about 18 inches of snow, and she was dying in our heat wave of like 70-some degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
We were glad to have you here, Mike. We thought we'd try to see how the year is going for you, and then what do you think some of the things we need to be looking at as we move into the future for home inspections and people who are getting homes in the next year or two?
Yeah, I think... things on our end. I mean, we're doing fine. It's this time of year. I'd say the holiday season things tend to slow down.
It's mm-hmm. true of it's all just, real
it's,
estate.
It's just true. Almost mm-hmm. like there's some industries that pick up a little bit because that's their busy season.
Right.
Like CPA's busy season is January through April 15th.
Right.
Home inspection. We kind of are one of the spokes of the wheel that's connected to y'all. So if you guys are the straw that stirs the drink of the global economy, we're kind of an ice cube in the drink that gets stirred with the straw. So that's kind of a sad.
What an analogy.
Yeah, sorry.
Real estate takes a little bit of a reprieve around the holidays. And I think that's, going into Thanksgiving and then Christmas. With the new year, we tend to see kind of an uptick in properties that go on the market.
Yeah.
And so our inventory tends to improve a little bit at the beginning of January. People, once they get their Christmas lights taken down, and then they can photograph their house without a tree in it so that those photos in February don't look like Christmas still.
So
we do see things picking up and we see a lot more activity in real estate come the first couple
weeks. The for sale by own crowd doesn't always get that memo, just so you know.
Oh, they don't.
Just so you know.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
If you're thinking about selling your house, do yourself a favor and hire a realtor.
Thank you for that plug.
Well, thank you for that. As part of your inspection, you do a thing called, you do a safety recall look at all the products, all the appliances.
Yeah, this is something that I do. There's some things that every home inspection company will do to exceed the minimal standards of practice.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the things that we do to make sure that we're taking as close a look as we reasonably can. So like just yesterday's inspection, for example, the dishwasher, I'll research the make, model, serial number, take that information to an online database, submit that information. It gives me immediate feedback, tells me the month and year that it was manufactured. Sometimes a serial number is hard to know for sure based on some manufacturers will recycle their serial numbers anywhere from 10 years, 12 years, sometimes even 20 year on a cycle. So based on logical limiting factors, I can usually do process elimination, find out exactly when something was made. That same database will pop up and say, hey, we got a recall on this. Some things you just have to know, like in 2004, November 3rd, 2004, there was a recall for Square D brand arc fault breakers. And it has a very distinctive blue button on it. So that's not something you're going to put into a database and pick up on. You just have to have that memorized.
Right. Okay.
So 700,000 units affected. So anything sold from March to October of that same year, 2004, was on a recall. So if I ever see a go to inspection and I pull open a panel and I see a Square D brand breakers and it's got that little blue button on an arc fault breaker, I'm automatically worried. Taking pictures of it, you know, before I say something to report, I'm going to double check to see if this is one of the serial numbers. Is this in the range that was affected by that recall?
There aren't a lot of home inspectors, I think, that look up recall information. Not a lot that I've worked with.
Well, it's specifically not required. It specifically says in the Arizona Standards of Practice that a home inspector is not required to look for recalls. So this is an area where me and other inspection firms will intentionally go beyond what's required so that we exceed the standards. And we're trying to hit the target in terms of what would I do for my mother or my best friend? How would I inspect for them? Would I go that extra step? Yeah, I would.
Right.
So that's one of the things that drives, you know, we also want to create a added value to our service. We want to just be distinct. We don't just want to show up and do the minimum, the bare minimum. If you're doing that, you're probably not going to be very busy.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and I know there are other things like testing outlets. You don't have to test everyone. You have to do a minimum, but that may not be a good representation of the house. I know you can't get to everything because people have furniture in the way. And
yeah, that's a good example of setting expectations. I think that there's sometimes a difference between what the client expects and what the inspector knows that he's required to do. There's oftentimes a good distance between these two mindsets. So inspectors sometimes are going to go far beyond what a client thinks that they're going to do. And so sometimes the expectations that the client has gets exceeded. Other times it doesn't. They get disappointed because a home inspector is only required to inspect a, quote, representative number of outlets, electrical outlets. In most jurisdictions, that's interpreted as one per room.
Right. Oh, okay.
I can't tell you how many times. Like, if I go to a vacant house, I'm going to see everyone. I'm going to get everyone I can physically get to. I can't tell you how many times. I mean, just like, I think 2 or 3 days ago, in a kitchen, all the outlets were correct polarity except one. No power. It's weird, loose hot. So it's weird. So yeah. So sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to protect the client, and hopefully you'll exceed their expectations in the process.
Are you seeing an uptick of safety recalls at all?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say an uptick in awareness of how many there are.
Okay.
And just memorizing those as I go.
Just worth thinking about that, wondering if you see that up and down. Recall list, is it list huge or just depend on the company?
I just go to my website, go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission website and double check my numbers and make sure that I'm not saying something that's not accurate.
Thank you for listening to the I Am Real Estate Show. We're here with Michael Oakland, who is a master certified inspector for Horizon Inspections. We'll be back in a few seconds or minutes and enjoying this great day with a great inspector and my beautiful wife. Welcome back, everyone, to the I Am Real Estate Show with Sandra and Ray. We have our Master Certified Inspector, Mike Oakland, with us.
Yeah, we were just talking about kind of managing client expectations and the standards of practice for home inspectors. And one of the things you talked about before we went on break was that you are required to do a representative number of outlets in a room. And I wanted to share, before I was in the industry, as a renter in a house, we had outlets that didn't work.
Yeah. And yeah, very common.
We had extension cords to service our computer yeah. and things, right? Because right. it was an older home. It yeah. was up in the Prescott area, you know, an older home. And so, you know, there just weren't enough outlets. And so we're running extension cords. And we made sure that was accessible because, you know, we didn't want to be hiding anything. But there are times that you're looking for things like that, that you just kind of have to go, well, that's weird. I wonder why they're yeah. doing that.
Yeah. You look at, like when you're trying to do an inspection on a house, it's filled with stuff,
right?
Just furnishings everywhere. Sometimes it could be a large family living there, or maybe someone who has leans toward hoarding, and there's just, you can't even hardly get to the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people they understand if they're buying a house that's in that condition, it's hard to get to things. Most people are very reasonable and they're not expecting us to have X-ray vision and be able to like lift the couch right. and move the 5 litter boxes and scatter all the cats out of the room. Mm-hmm. They don't right. expect us to do that. But when you start seeing like outlet multipliers and all these power strips everywhere, that's a yellow flag that maybe we don't have enough outlets. So you start thinking about things like, what's the age of the home? What's the service panel rated for? How much ampacity, or that's the technical word for amperage capacity for the home. You know, does the home need an upgrade in yeah. service?
Mm-hmm. One other thing you brought up earlier while during the break was talking about being updated on information. Mm-hmm. And you have an ace in the hole, which is your son Luke, who's actually in class right now.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing you up different data and helping that. You remind you, you know, of things that's going on. Talk a little bit about that, having to be updated sometimes on the SOPs of your industry.
Yeah, so the standards of practice don't change a whole lot, but the information that's being taught in home inspection schools can. So as new information rolls out, like for example, 7-8 years ago, there is no replacement refrigerant for R22, old school air conditioners with the R22 refrigerant, what used to be called Freon. But now there's at least 2, maybe 3 drop-in refrigerants that wow. they've been using for 5-6 years or more. So, you know, depending on when you went to school, there was no replacement refrigerant right. for R22. It was going to, you know, in the year 2020, it was going to be outlawed. You can't import it to the United States anymore. No more manufacturing it. Well, now we've got replacement refrigerants that work with an older R22 system that, so the big scary monster of you know, your AC system is going to go down. It's going to be unusable.
You have to replace it.
You have to replace it.
Yeah,
well,
no, you
really don't. You don't. Now, do you really want to? You probably should. I mean, as of January this year, the minimum SEER rating for our air conditioners went from SEER 14 under the old SEER standard to SEER 2. It was SEER 15 now. So SEER 15 under the SEER 2 standard is the current minimum.
So the minimum you can have is a 15 SEER?
15 SEER is the minimum required as of January this year, yes.
Does it go up or down? I mean, can you have a 10
SEER?
Higher,
yeah, the higher, no, 10 SEER is less efficient. Mm. So the higher the SEER number.
Okay.
So SEER, S-E-E-R stands for Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah. So it's...
Nobody's buying it. You don't. Yeah. You didn't know that.
So the higher the number on the SEER rating, the more efficient it is.
Yeah.
So SEER 15 is better than SEER 14. And SEER 2 is more strict. It's a higher, more strict standard of testing,
right.
more rigorous. So SEER 2 is more a functional equivalent like a SEER 16 of the old system. So it's really, really efficient. Whoever's buying an AC today is getting really efficient unit.
I was thinking about asking you about the different SEERs and how big a house you should have for a SEER.
You're probably thinking tonnage. Tonnage is how much cooling capacity okay. the unit has.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's going to be a measurement. We're going to call Bill Nye. We're going to go be like super nerdopotamus here.
Okay, and I think I know the answer to this, but I might as well throw it out there and ask, is that part of your inspection when you're looking at the efficiency of how large a unit is?
So no,
they really need to call another.
It's not required, but do I look? Yes. I mean, okay. I look, and one of the little tricks of the trade, so if there's any home inspectors out there never heard this trick before, here's some free advice. Or homeowners, go to the model number on your outside condensing unit outside. Usually if you go to the middle of a model number, there's gonna be a number that's divisible by 6 or divisible by 12. So an air conditioning unit that has 4.2 in the middle of the model number is a 3.5-ton unit.
Okay.
So if it has a 60, it's a 5-ton unit. So that's a little trick on estimating the size of the cooling capacity of your unit just with a glance.
Okay, I'm
you've
never
heard it here,
do
guys.
That.
You heard it here. Write it down.
Or hire,
and
or
you
hire
are welcome.
Michael.
Yeah, or hire know, Michael. Yes.
Hire Michael. He has all the good stats. So you, in talking about HVAC, we had a little conversation during the break about CO monitors as
yes,
well.
Yes, carbon monoxide. Yeah, I want to amend. I said something I want to say three shows ago about doesn't matter where you put the carbon monoxide detector, and that's turns out that that's not true. It's actually smarter and safer to make sure the carbon monoxide detector is low to the ground, usually within 18 inches of the floor. So that's typically where your plugs or outlets are going to be. Mm-hmm. The reason why is that the sensitivity level of most carbon monoxide detectors is not high enough to set off the alarm if you have a small leak in your heat exchanger on a gas furnace. So if a gas furnace is the most, one of the most common ways to get carbon monoxide poisoning in a home mm-hmm. is failure of the heat exchanger
okay.
of an older gas furnace. Well, the leak rate of the carbon buildup, the carbon monoxide buildup is very slow in those cases. So it's not likely to be picked up by your carbon monoxide detector at the ceiling. But if that cold air falls to the ground and begins to build at the floor level, it'll be detected before it hurts you. Usually, that's the idea, is that most likely you're going to be protected better if it's low to the ground.
So we see those alarms or detectors that are fire and CO.
Yes.
So fire is kind of the opposite.
Yes. Heat's going to rise. Smoke's going to rise. It's just, and it's going to stay up there because the heat of the flame in the house is going to cause that to stay aloft. But as soon as a carbon monoxide comes out of the heat exchanger of your furnace, comes through the supply registers into your room, it's going to eventually cool. It's not going to take that long. It's going to cool. It's going to fall to the floor. And then that carbon monoxide is going to stay there low to the ground. Now, if you open the windows and doors enough, it may dissipate and dilute and leave the home. No harm, no foul.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if it builds up, you could wake up at the pearly gates ahead of schedule.
Yeah. So probably having a separate unit, I guess, is what I was getting
to. A plug-in style outside the bedrooms in the hall, mm-hmm. the wall outlet is the smartest, I think, place to put it.
Okay, and maybe one in the kitchen or around the gas furnace? Or?
Yeah, you probably could. The idea, the requirement is you have to have at least one outside each sleeping area.
Okay.
Typically within 10 feet of the bedroom doors.
Right.
But yeah.
Great information. Talking about client expectations again, it's not unusual to hear a client ask you, did a house pass or fail?
Yeah, that's odd because they're the ones who have the power to answer that question. I'm just the inspector. I'm there to say, I don't give buy recommendations. I don't say that the houses don't pass or fail. That's a subjective call on their, you know.
Right. You're there to give just, information and they decide what to do.
It's like, so that's a quick question. Did it? your name's on the purchase and sale agreement. So you're the boss.
How do you feel about that?
You're listening to this Sandra and Ray. You're listening to Sandra and Ray on the I Am Real Estate Show on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back with more of the show with Michael Oakland, the Horizon Inspector.
Hey, we are back from the break. This is Sandra Johnson here with Raymond Smith and Michael Oakland, who is the owner and master inspector with Horizon Inspections. So we were talking before going on break about that good old question that buyers like to ask, did the house pass or fail? And you said really it's up to them and how they kind of view the information that you give them because you're impartial.
Right. Now, there might be some side effect benefits, but that's not a question we can really answer because ultimately it's up to the client to mm-hmm. decide. So sometimes if a client is either very, very young or they're really kind of insecure and they're maybe indecisive, if their personality type is one that they have a difficult time making big decisions, mm-hmm. then they may try to see us more in a paternal role, which of course is not our role, and ask the question, would you buy this house?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's flattering to be asked the question in a sense because that tells us that the client has a lot of confidence in us.
Yes.
That right. they want us to answer the question because they trust us at a very deep level. Now, it's a dangerous question because we really can't answer the question. So what we want to do is we want to guard that trust and respond in a way that's gracious and say, well, that's really not our decision. Your name is on the purchase and sale agreement. if I was thinking about this doesn't fit the size of my family. I have a special needs child. Right. I have an aging parent. I mean, this doesn't work for me. So the layout's wrong. No, I wouldn't buy this house.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's not for
me. Answered the question before saying, well, no, I don't want another pool. No way. I wouldn't buy this house. And so I give him a reason that's practical based on my family's dynamic. And I answered so obviously that they can't go, well, yeah, that's not what I mean. I mean, is it safe? Is the wiring going to burn my house down? Is the roof going to collapse? You know, that's what they really mean. Is it a safe investment?
Right.
I'm like, well, this is really a financial question. This is not, would I buy it? That's irrelevant.
Right.
So the question is, would you buy it? Your agent has helped you negotiate this agreement. You're in this position. You're holding all the aces now.
Right.
So
balls in your court.
Balls in your court. Yeah.
Hey, along that same line, you know, you could have something, you know, like the polybutylene pipes in the house. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't buy the house. You may negotiate that repair. So even if there's something that seems like a really big issue, until you know whether or not the seller is going to do a repair, replace that, even the buyer doesn't know if they want to buy that house.
Right. So let me use a kind of a stark analogy, maybe even an emotionally provocative one to illustrate that. If my wife said, honey, I've got cancer in my leg, I'm not going to tell her, well, I guess we got to cut your leg off now, don't we? Or I guess our marriage is over. Well, why don't we just put a bullet in your head and just be done? No. Everything's fixable. This is a house. If the human body is fixable, what are you going to do? You're going to fight the cancer. You're going to go toe to toe with it. So what are you going to do with the house? You get polybutylene in the walls? It's totally fixable. This isn't kryptonite. You're not Superman moving into a house with kryptonite in the walls. It's polybutylene plastic. It's solvable. So it's going to cost more than $1.50 to fix.
Right. Yeah.
But as long as you have a willing buyer and a willing seller, then you guys as realtors get to shine and you get to negotiate and you get to slay the dragon on behalf of your client.
I like that because me and my wife always talks about they're the big ticket items.
Yeah,
but the big ticket items mean you can purchase it or you can get it purchased, which is the roof, the HVAC, and the termite. If you have termite and termite in the house, doesn't mean you can't buy the house or the house is not good. Like you just said, it's fixable.
Yeah,
but now you know about the problem. Now you know there's a process that has to be made to make it whole or make it better.
Yeah, the things that tend to be what some people call deal killers is things that are structural in nature that are so fundamental to the home that they're not repairable. They're pragmatically unfixable. Like completely falling apart foundations that have affected the framing all the way to the roof. So sometimes you get older homes that were slapped together with like two popsicle sticks and a glue gun, and that's not a house.
But can I say that it is fixable? The fixable thing is to
basically rebuild it. Exactly.
I just want to make sure.
And at the right price, that house is going to sell.
Exactly. Right?
If it's $1.50,
I'll buy it. I'll buy it 10 times over.
Because you get the land.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is that the mentality is that you're trying to emphasize that everything's fixable. Your job is to help them see there. Here's some issues that may have deter you fixing these things. Maybe deter the house being in the perfect condition you want it for now. But
let me also illustrate it this way: if the condition of the home was going to be the driving factor, something being a deal breaker. Excuse me, I can't English today. Then the real estate investing world would never exist because real estate investors most of the time buy distressed properties. Why do they do that? Because they're getting a deep enough discount that they can afford to make the repairs and it still cash flows. It's dollars and cents. If it makes dollars, it makes sense. Question is, can you get this negotiated for a price and terms that makes sense based on its condition?
You sound more like a real estate agent.
I didn't want to say that. I'm like, whoa.
But well, agreed.
I used to be one, so I can't unscramble those eggs. Once you think like a realtor, it's hard to unthink. Like
right.
Do you think you're bringing less risk and more confidence to the process as when you're doing your inspection?
Abso-freaking-lutely. Can I say that word on the radio?
We'll find out.
Yeah, we're about to find out. Yeah, I think so because knowledge is power. As long as you know what you're buying, it doesn't matter the condition. As long as you know what it is. People can approach the truth objectively. And you know, then you do what you're going to do with it. So,
yeah, I wanted to ask a question about solar and how having a solar system on the roof impacts your ability to inspect that roof, and who do they need to go to have that solar looked at?
I'm aware of this. It makes it hard to see the roof wherever the solar panels are covering. Mm-hmm. if they're flush to the roof, so that does limit the inspection. I try to see if I can find evidence of leaks from below in the if there's an accessible attic, or if there's ceilings, or if there's roof penetrations, or the general areas with the infrared scan. But really, they need to see a solar installer, solar specialist to evaluate that system, make sure it was installed properly, because that's not something. Maybe there's an inspection firm out there that specializes in that, but that's not me. So I'm aware of them. I've seen them go in. I watched my own solar system get installed. I understand the principles of how it works. I've seen some really bad installs, and I go like, that's not right. But I can't necessarily conclusively say this is done wrong and needs to be redone.
Michael, Horizon Inspection does a great job for the community. Can you let people know how they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. The best way to reach me is just by calling me. Old school, 520-330-9703. Again, it's 520-LOCAL, 330-9703 is my phone number. It rings on my hip because it's a cell phone. You can reach me on my website, horizoninspectionsllc.com, or you can just reach out to Ray and Sandra, and they'll find me a will.
We sure will.
Actually, we would.
Yes, we would. We would like to recommend him all the time. Hey, well, thank you for being with us today, and I appreciate Mike being on the show. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, if you have any questions about real estate, we would love to help. Please call the Johnson Smith team at 520-850-1725 or 520-904-7711. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you a little bit on the other side.
Hey, we are back from the break. We've had Michael Oakland with Horizon Inspections with us, and kind of wrapping up the inspection portion of this, but would you like to sit in and join us for the last segment here?
Yeah, I mean, former realtor, I might as well, former even appraiser.
Yeah. Okay, estate advice,
No, don't have a license. Just questions.
Hey, We actually do have a new teammate. I don't know if we've said that on air yet or not, but my daughter, Danielle, is now a licensed agent, and she has joined the team. So we will definitely be introducing her to you, Michael, and to
the audience.
Yeah, and we'll get her in here on a show in the next week or two. So it's kind of fun watching somebody starting.
Yes.
From the beginning of, you go out, you go to school, you get that license, and then pass the test, and you're like on top of the world. I passed my test, and then you realize you're not ready to sell real estate. all you did in class was you learned a lot, but you don't know how to start. How do I start this career?
Right.
And so, yeah, we'll get Danielle on here and introduce her to our listeners, and she's so strong with social media understanding how she bought her first home straight out of college, and so she's seen what the power of home ownership can do for you financially.
She's a great advocate for it and things that.
She
so,
is.
Most common.
And we want to know that with this Johnson Smith team that we're getting bigger, and we want to make people start being some of our other team members and hear their voice. So if you see them responding to us, that's Danielle, and that's part of the team too. I know I'm in good hands. And that's the main reason for it, make sure that people get to meet our team members.
Yeah, and Raymond and I are a little on the old side when it comes to some of the technology. We manage it, but we're not rock stars by any means. And so it's going to be great to have somebody younger on the team and have that perspective. Yeah. And someone who's kind of, living life at a different level than we are. And so we're excited about that, and super smart. This girl was a math education major, and she never bought a math book through college. She just helped her friends, tutored them, and got through college. So super smart. And like I say, we're just excited to have her. In the news, NAR on January 18th had put out a post saying that recent inflation could mean that mortgage rates have further to fall, which is great news. That came from Lawrence Yoon, the chief economist at NAR. So with inflation being the way it is, we're seeing some relief for buyers. We've been talking about the opportunity that home buyers have right now that hasn't really been there in the last few years. So not this huge uptick in inventory, but to where we're, you know, 6 months is considered to be a balanced market. Mm-hmm. And we're not to that point yet, but certainly some relief in the pace that real estate is selling. And that opens the door. Raymond and I have been working with some first-time home buyers here recently.
Yes, recently, yes. And it's very exciting. And with me, we keep trying to tell people, and I just want to remind everyone, is that all it takes is a phone call to John Spur to find out what your buying power is and to find out what the rate you can get it at and find all the different things that you just need to know before you get started. I mean, you can do that like today. You're sitting here on a Sunday. Tomorrow, look up John Spur, Inspired Life and Mortgage. Just get the ball rolling. Not that you have to go out there and look, but you have that information you can keep in your back pocket. Of course, it's not going to be valid 6 months from now. You're going to have to call them again. But you have some idea what you can do, or how much your house is worth. Just give us a call. Not that we want to sell your house this week, but you don't know. But now the buyers are out there who have the power to buy your home, who didn't have it maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. Now may have more chance of getting your house sold for the listing price that you're asking for. Would you agree, Sandra?
I would, yeah. And I'm trying to think back over the last 6 months for sure. I would say we've had more first-time home buyers than we have.
Yes.
You know, people that are buying a second home or just moving. And so this is a good time, I think, for folks who couldn't handle the cash bidding wars that were going on. The multiple offers that kind of just got beat up a little bit in the process.
Discouraging.
Yeah. It is. It's really discouraging.
So are you saying you're seeing some of these buyers who got a little bit stung on the overly like red, white, hot market? They're just like, this is way too competitive. Just wait for it to cool off. Is that cooling off happening now?
It's called buyer fatigue, I think.
And I personally thought that they just needed someone to talk to say, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
And with John and with us, they were able to sit back and realize that we're here for you. And so I think that kind of helps realize, okay, this whole market out here is not about, it's not that big of a thing as we think it is. Mm-hmm. We brought it down and put it in small portions so you were able to chew on it, understand it, able to chew it, understand it, and I give it to you all at once. And if it's not your time, we always tell you, if it's not your time, it's not your time. Mm-hmm. But if it is your time, go out there and look.
So can John, like if they call, if there's something with their credit or their cash flow or some wrinkle in their financial pipeline, can he help them figure out what to iron out?
Yes, and that's the one thing he always emphasizes, that, you know, when you call, it doesn't mean that you're ready to buy now. If there is an issue, his whole goal is to make sure you get to where you need to get. We're trying to get you to your goal.
So are people going to get on someone's radar and start getting spammed every other day with some marketing thing?
I hope not. I don't think so.
No. That's not. No. They're great. So
it sounds like they're just going to answer the question and they're not going to haunt you.
And I'm going to tell you why you really need to start buying in Tucson, because my wife found this on the news today that Tucson is, and according to the New York Times, that Tucson is the 15th city. Mm-hmm. Number 15th city today. Think you need to come to and visit. So if you know, if people start coming to visit Tucson, and we're number 15. All the people in New York and California and Minnesota are coming down. And they're going to want to come here and start buying homes because we have a great place to live.
We do.
You're already here. Come and give us a call. And we'll sit there and find your place before they get here. And then if you buy two or three of them, guess what? You can rent one out to them when they come down for their summer homes.
Yeah.
So we're trying to sit there and get the business for you.
Buying by the case, selling by the bottle, renting by the bottle.
I think we talked about this a couple of times, that the nation is starting to realize that Tucson is really a great place to come to. And we're outbeating Phoenix over and over again. It's not about how big you are. It's about how beautiful you are and what you have to offer for people who are interested in just enjoying life. And Tucson is a place to come and enjoy life. We have the mountains. We have the bike riding. We have
the food. Let's talk about the food.
And all the golfing, you know.
No shortage of that.
Yeah.
Raymond's a happy man. Yeah. He's never leaving Tucson.
No, I am not.
We were a little laughing today because Raymond does golf with some guys. They golf every week. And these guys make decent money, but they put like a quarter of hole or something out there.
Quarter hole, dollar on the greenies. You guys know the rules. But it's the best time in the world is to watch a bunch of guys how much we talk crap about $8.25, man. It's the best conversation, and we're serious about that.
No, I want my how much money for the golf? Well, you know, golf somewhere in there.
It's the best thing
I'm
ever,
saying
man.
Even on even a good price, you're paying $30, $40, you know, $50 yeah. for that round of golf.
For the
but
green,
it's
green fees,
it's yeah. the $8.
Well, it's the pride of winning.
And it's so much fun. We play so many different golf courses. There's so many things to do out here in Tucson. We all talked about the different golf courses, the 5 public golf courses, all the great resorts you can go to. And at this time of year, if you have somebody who's a member who can get you in for a decent price, and if not, sometimes they have some great sales that are going on at the local courses. But man, it's just so much fun to do and such a great thing to do outside, because I'm not going to go hiking, I'm not going to go bike riding, I'm not going to go walking.
The rest of the world is hiking and biking let's not forget the gem show too.
Yeah,
26th through the 2nd of February.
You know, we should have looked before we said it.
I saw it.
But yes, I
start the 26th of January, and it lasts until sometime in February. So just come and stay a while.
And if you get the hankering for the trees and you miss like that northwestern feel, mm-hmm. there's always Mount Lemon. Just go hang out in the mountains and drop.
Ski. There's snow on the mountains.
Oh, tons of snow right now.
Oh, it looks beautiful out there today, man. It was just so wonderful. Just look at the mountains. I felt like I was almost as close to thinking I was in Utah looking at the mountains. You're going down the road and you're coming in from to Salt Lake City. And you're like, wow. It just reminded me. And I realized I stepped outside. Nope, not Utah.
Yeah,
it was only 50. It wasn't 32. It wasn't 30. No doubt. It wasn't too cold. So I'm like, yes.
So we are getting some freezing temperatures right now. I know there's a freeze warning, so another good reminder to check those pipes. Make sure that everything's ready for cold weather. Cold weather for us is not like cold weather for anybody else, though. I mean, we've got it. We're spoiled here.
And I like it that way. Did you want to talk a little bit about the listings you have?
Yeah, we could do that, actually. We just got a price reduction on a listing that we have that is located in Corona de Tucson. And not only do we get a price reduction, but with an acceptable offer, the seller is willing to make a contribution towards closing costs, whether that's a rate buy down or just helping with your closing costs in general. And the house is located in an area for USDA financing. And so that's already a zero down program. So zero down, you get a contribution from the seller with that acceptable offer, and it'd be a real nice way to start with a first home. The property address is 710 East Blue Mesa, and like I said, that is in Corona de Tucson. We'd love to show it. It's going to be open from 1 to 4
today.
So not a lot of time after the airing of the show, but get out there and see it.
One other thing I want to talk to you about. Did you want to say anything about land and our
call us. If you have land and you're looking for a builder, call us. But we're kind of to that point where we need to wrap up the show. So don't even get me started on talking about how good our builder is, because
that's another hour
awesome.
Show, guys.
That needs to be a show on its own. So we do want to thank our sponsors. We have Horizon Inspections, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, and Rego Pest Prevention. Not only do they make this show possible, but when we're out selling homes, they are the people that we go to because we trust that they're going to give our clients a great experience. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, don't hesitate to reach out. Ray Smith at 520-904-7711 or Sandra at 520-850-1725.
Thank you for listening to the show, guys. We hope to hear from you guys, and we hope to hear everybody watch the show next week. Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
You bet, man.